You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I would ask for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
Does he know any of these plays?
Give him a chance, all right? The guy knows the basic package, but he's only taken a few snaps.
Who's your daddy, guy? Who's your daddy?
It's my team. It's my quarterback.
There's no crying in
football. And you know this, man.
Welcome to the Prep Stars Football Report. Here's your host, Derek Denham.
What's going on, everybody out there in Facebook Live land and podcast land? Hey, this is your man, Derek Denham, with the Prep Stars Football Report. And I don't know where my man, Mr. Reggie Booby, wins. I'm sure he'll be arriving shortly. It's a big day today. You've got National Signing Day out there, and this is like a it's a holiday for us football fans that really love college football and high school football. Big day, big day. So we definitely want to talk about signing day. It's here in the Michigan area, a lot of kids from a lot of different schools that signed that dotted line today. And for a lot of those kids, it can change their lives. You know, it's a major, major, major move when you sign a dotted line. And you know, a lot of people look at it as just, hey, I'm going to play football. But once you sign that line, you start at the bottom. So as Drake once said, hey, we started at the bottom, now we're here. Yeah, the grind really begins. So we definitely want to talk about National Recruiting Day. And then also, this past weekend was another major holiday, and that was called the Super Bowl. And you know, a lot of people talking about it was a boring game, and, you know, a lot of people gave their opinions one way or another. It definitely wasn't what I anticipated. Let's just say that. I had chose the New England Patriots to win, but I definitely did not think the Rams could hold New England to, I think it was, what, 12, 14 points. So, and just to see how the Rams, the high-power offense got shut down for 3 points. Who would have thought that? So, hey, we're going to talk about that. And then what I want to talk about, I want people to call in. It's 248-838-3661. I know we got a lot of parents that listen and watch our show. Hey, give us a call and tell us about your recruit that just signed today and, you know, your thoughts for a lot of parents out there. It was a big day as well, probably bigger even for the kids. You look at all the money that's invested, the time driving little Timmy and Tommy around to 707 and football camps and the long days and nights. So I want to hear you guys call in tonight, 248-838-3661. You can be a player. I see Ryan Griffin is watching. Congratulations to you. Ryan and I, quick story, my nephew Jonas, who played at Notre Dame and played for the New England Patriots. They both used to train together at Velocity. And I remember his son, I think his son was maybe like 6 or 7 at the time. And, you know, he used to ask me certain questions and I used to observe his son. And it's just amazing how at that age you can look at a kid and even a parent and you can say, you know, they're going to make it. So I knew back then that his son, it seemed like he had the determination, and then his dad, I know he was a track guy. I know he played basketball, I believe, at Ann Arbor Huron. And you could just tell that he was very serious and dedicated to getting his son where he needed to be. So, hey, again, we'd love to hear from you guys. 248-838-3661. I see my man Aaron Marshall. Big day for Southfield A&T. Got a lot of big time recruits there. So my old teammate, Ernest Pittman. What's up, Pitt? Pitt played college ball. So it's just good to have, you know, people that I've known for a lot of years, over the years, that either we played together, we played against one another, or now we're doing, you know, this whole football thing together. So what I want to do is take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Super Bowl Sunday and chop it up. So guys, again, call in. Give me your thoughts. We're live now. The Prep Stars Football Report. We'll be right back after the break.
I noticed the little things. And lately I've noticed my TV is not as...
incredible as it could be.
That's the word.
It's time for a Sony 4K TV. Vibrant color, stunning contrast with Google Assistant built in.
Huh. Vibrant and stunning. We should all be so lucky.
I also noticed my TV is not as...
big as it could be?
Yeah.
Trust me, Sony knows how to do big TV. Check it.
Oh, I'm checking.
Boom. Am I right?
At MetroPCS, everyone's celebrating an amazing deal. Switch now and get your choice of three free phones from great brands. Plus, get a third line with unlimited high-speed data free. MetroPCS, wireless figured out.
Yeah, we've come this far, but can we finish what we started? Do we have it in us? Can we get back at it and keep grinding? Because the second we think we've given everything, we're going to give more. Because this is our moment, and we are.
Whatever you're made for, Gatorade is made to fuel it.
Welcome back to the Prep Stars Football Report. I'm your host, Derek Denham, in the house tonight. Normally I got my man, Mr. Reggie Booby Wins, with me in the house, but like we're going solo tonight. So again, before break, we just talking about the Super Bowl, and I've been hearing a lot of chitter chatter about this game. You know, a lot of football gurus out there, everybody's giving their opinion about whether the game was boring or was it the worst game possible, what have you. And I love to see a lot of touchdowns, a lot of points scored. And that's what you come to expect, especially if going into this game with the Rams' high-powered offense and the New England Patriots, if you took the over and under and you took the under, say, under 20 points, yeah, I would have gathered you would have lost a lot of money, but I believe somebody won almost $100,000 on a $20 bet for the Rams. So, hey, kudos to them. I wish I would have got a little bit of that money, but again, back to the game. My opinion is, I'm a defensive guy, so to see the game within the game. To be able to stop a Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, New England team and to hold them to under three touchdowns, I think that's remarkable. You give that team 2 weeks to game plan, even against a Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, what have you. If I was a betting man, I would have said that they would have scored at least 28 points. And then with the Rams. Again, I didn't think the Rams would win, but I damn didn't sure think they would just score 3 points. And I don't think anyone else out there thought that. So I personally had a value for the game from a defensive standpoint, because people, when you play defense, most people understand what goes into that, your game plan. I mean, and again, to see what the Rams did all year. And I told someone, and I think I told Booby, I told Jonas Gray, nephew Jonas, you give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to game plan against a young Rams team, it's doomsday. It's doomsday. And that's exactly what happened. They took Gurley out the game. I don't know if Gurley was injured. And kudos to him. He didn't use his injury. If he was injured, he did not use that as an excuse. So kudos to Gurley on that. But you stopped the running game, and in my opinion, You stopped the Rams. We got a caller right now. Let's go to the phones. Hello, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, how you doing? It's Ryan Griffin.
Mr. Ryan Griffin, what's up, my man?
What's going on, big time? What's, you doing all
right? I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad you got my message, man. Definitely, I noticed, hey, today was signing day. I know your son is already in school, but, yeah. Hey, man, I was just talking about Junior, man, and, you know, back in the day and that velocity and seeing him seeing him do his thing and seeing him come up to where he was at, I mean, to now, you know, and I was just telling, I don't know if you heard what I was saying, but looking at him then, it's like, it's amazing at that age. Because how old was he then, Ryan?
Back when he was working out with Jonas, it was probably, he had to be 6 or 7.
6 or 7 years old. And yeah. I knew then, you could predict, and it's amazing how you could predict that certain kids are going to make it. And looking at your son then, and even with you talking to you, you could tell that you were dedicated dad. Because a lot of guys talk the game. You know what I mean, Ryan? They talk it.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
To understand going to velocity maybe 2-3 times a week, whatever else you were doing with him, and to see that that progression went to now, we're talking about what? Then maybe 10 years later, 10, 11 years later?
Yep, 11, 12 years later.
Talk a little bit about your son, man, and him going to his school and how that came into play. Talk a little bit about the how you guys went from where you were when I met you to now, if you don't mind. Introduce your son to everybody.
Oh, well, my son is MJ Griffin.
Yes, sir.
He ended up graduating from Sling High School. He did his first 2 years at Belleville High School. You know, actually, it was because I have an older son who ended up running track at Youngstown, and I have nephews that play football at Jackson State, you know, and a couple other schools. You know, heading into the just getting MJ prepared. You know, sometimes when that young one is around, they just pick up on information,
sure.
You know, without you having to say anything. They just
pick
up on information.
That's right.
And it's funny because you hear people say, well, you know, I've been singing since I was 2. Or I've been dancing since I was 3. You know, and like MJ literally used to eat, sleep, and drink football like at 2-3 years old. I mean, he was just... I would have to sneak out the house to go to football practice because he would like cry like he was a baby, but he would cry because he couldn't go.
Right.
And so you're right, man. Sometimes some people have it.
They have that it factor. Yes.
They have the it factor. And I knew at a young age he had that it factor because he was so competitive
mm-hmm.
at that young age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all he wanted to do. You know, at that age, you want to find out if your kid is good at baseball, basketball, soccer, football, whatever. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Right.
But he just always had a love for football. And my thing was, let me just feed it. And so, you know, I was track coach and I was a sprinters coach for Detroit Pal.
Right.
You know, with Darnell Hall and the fellas. And mm-hmm. so just having him, man, you know, in the city, man, and just understanding how to grind and just always working for it and just being competitive, man. And then, you know, all the training, you know, then, you know, being around people like yourself, man,
right.
and asking you questions and just watching how you guys were with Jonas and
mm-hmm.
and we all know there's no method to the madness, you know, to figuring this recruiting thing out.
No
but
doubt.
You try to go to credible people. You try
mm-hmm.
to be around credible people.
Mm-hmm.
You try to take that information and you try to use it, you know, to the best of your ability, you know, with your situation.
Well,
and,
hey, man, what you did a phenomenal job, Ryan, because again, like I said, seeing your son go through the progress and seeing where he is now. And people just don't understand. And I say this all the time. Parents and athletes, they want to shine, but they not willing to put in the grind. And that's literally, man.
Funny.
I mean, it's day in, it's day out. I don't care if you playing football, if you playing badminton. I don't care if you trying to be the top rapper. You've got to put in the work. It's a daily. Ryan, I had these conversations with my great nephew right now. And
yeah.
he's at Kettering. And I said, DJ, it's a every day. Again, if you want to be the guy at the school, you know, you got your varsity jacket on and people recognize you. And, you know, you happy with just being a guy, you know, in your city
uh-huh.
or, you know, you made a little. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
not what that's not the people I work with, what we try to do. You know, what I mean,
not
Ryan? Because I don't think locally. And see, a lot of people, again, I learned this from people like Tyrone Logan, who actually trained my nephew, him in track, and he was an All-American. And then people like Stan Edwards. And they never thought nationally. A lot of people just think locally in their city or all state. Or we think, I'm thinking, you know, NFL draft. I'm thinking NBA. That's just the mindset you got to have. Now, guess what?
Absolutely.
If you fall short of that, okay. But that's the mindset you have to have, man.
You're absolutely right. I don't think MJ attended a camp in Michigan probably until he got in high school. Prior to that, it was Texas, Georgia, Florida. And then with him running track, you know, AAU track, it was always about either running in Iowa or running in Virginia or running in Texas or what have you. It was always about national because I always wanted him to understand when schools recruit you, they're not going to recruit who's the best guy in Washtenaw County.
That's true.
You know, you're going to be competing against a guy from Texas, from Georgia, from Florida, from California.
No doubt.
You know, so I always wanted him to understand that. So he needed to always see how other kids grind, you know, across the country. So that was a huge part of MJ's development, actually getting him out of the state of Michigan.
There you go.
To understand that this is a national thing.
And to compete against kids outside of, like you said, your state. When you in Michigan and you go see the kids, and I know you know this, Ryan, from the track, from AAU track, you go and see those boys from Texas at 7 years old doing the baton like you know, they running for track USA. It blows your mind the first time you see it. You know, you see kids that's just middle schoolers running 10.5s. I mean, it's just a whole other world. So I can relate to that whole track piece, and that's a great training methodology to get your kids to compete against other kids around the country. So,
absolutely.
Hey, whatever you did, what you doing, man? I mean, MJ, like I said, I think about, because he was a smaller guy, and then damn, I said, man, I mean, he bigger than me. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, he grew a little bit.
So, talk about his recruiting process, man. I mean, how did you guys? You know, I know you guys started at, you guys were at Belleville, correct?
Yeah.
And then you guys went to Saline. How did that, you know, and we don't have to get into why this and this and that, but, you know, two great programs, obviously. Crowell's a great guy. He does what he does.
Yep.
Then you guys went to Saline. Talk a little bit about how you guys made the choice for your first college choice. How did that all run down?
Well, his college choice was, you know, just like a lot of kids, MJ probably had maybe 20 offers or what have you.
Sure.
And not till later in the process do you start to understand what people mean by real offers and committable offers.
Right.
So one thing that we always wanted to do is we always wanted to have a checklist. I always wanted MJ to understand it was a 40-year decision, not a 4-year decision.
There you go.
It's far more. One thing I always taught him, we don't do the shiniest helmet thing. Mm. MJ had the Louisville, Kentucky, mm-hmm. Iowa State, Indiana. He had Power 5 offers. You know, of course, MAC offers, Colorado State, you know. But one thing was always, we don't go for the shiniest helmet. Where do you want to – most people don't go pro. But what most people do is end up living in a 3-hour radius from where you went to college.
No doubt.
So the question was, do you want to go to a school like in Miami, or do you want to go to a school in Ames, Iowa?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people meet their spouse on their college campus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to meet your spouse in Lexington, Kentucky, or do you want to meet her in Cincinnati? You know, those type of things. Education-wise, they all have a great education. Indiana, the education is
no
great.
Doubt.
Iowa State, the education is great. You know, Louisville, the education is great. Temple, the education is great.
Mm-hmm.
So we really didn't have to go over that so much because we knew there always going to be a great education.
That's right.
It was more about you living. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to live, son? What's your life going to be like?
That's
because
right.
Football, man, I told MJ, if you play for 10 years, 10 years in the NFL, you're a dinosaur. That's a long career.
That's a long time. 3 years is 3 years is the average. Three.
But that's the thing. You're only 34 when you're done.
That's right. That's right.
So what are you going to do for the rest of your life? And
that's
so
right.
You want to be in a place to where you measure the infrastructure of the city where you live. He wants to do sports journalism. You
okay.
know, he wants to be a commentator.
Great.
So that was one of the big reasons to go to Philly.
Okay.
Obviously, all the pro sports.
No
New
doubt.
York, New Jersey, all that. So
Stephen A. Smith, baby.
Yeah, So it was those type of things that went into the decision of end up going to Temple, because we broke down his final like five schools. We visited each one of them like two times or so. And then it came down to, obviously, you don't want to pick a school for a coach. And
that's true.
And what Temple went through over the last 2 months.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
But a coach is going to be the one to introduce you to the school, mm-hmm. and spark your initial interest to that school. So after you realize you don't go to a school for a coach, you know, now you start to figure out the locker room, mm-hmm. the players that you're going to play with, mm-hmm. You know, and it's those type of things, you know, getting with the seniors, getting with, you know, other guys that's in the program to let you know what it's really like.
Here. That's right.
You know, what life is really like. And so once MJ did that with Temple, with Iowa State, with Cincinnati, with Louisville, it was like it almost became a no-brainer with Temple, because they end up checking the most boxes.
There, wow. 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 So let me ask you this, Ryan. So yep. I know you with the coach, and I know you know the coach was there and he left because he went to Miami, right?
The second coach did, Manny Diaz.
Manny Diaz.
He left Temple and went to Miami.
Yeah. Now, chime in on that, man. I mean, because Reds and I, we always talk about, you know, how they hold the kids responsible. And once you sign, the kids can get screwed. What was your thoughts on that, man? Because you had the one coach that recruited you. Then Manny came. And then obviously he got the offer at Miami. What was your thoughts on that, man?
Well, actually, when MJ first chose Georgia Tech, mm-hmm. I always told him that we knew Jeff Collins from when he camped at Florida. So that's how Jeff Collins ended up offering MJ at Temple. As soon as he got the job at Temple, when he left Florida as a defensive coordinator, that's when he offered MJ.
Right.
So I told MJ that Jeff Collins had coached with Georgia Tech. He coached with Nick Saban. He coached at Mississippi State. He was defensive coordinator of Florida. I said, MJ, Jeff Collins is not going to stay, mm-hmm. you know, all 4 years. So we already knew that he wasn't going to have a coach to stay at all 4 years. So he ended up leaving, taking a Georgia Tech job. So Manny Diaz came in. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Manny Diaz is none of the kids had really met him because he was only there for 17 days.
Wow.
So the Manny Diaz, so the Manny Diaz thing really didn't hurt because he never had a chance to, he called MJ as soon as he got the job.
Okay.
But we never made that trip to Philly to meet with him within those 17 days.
Gotcha.
So that really didn't sting. Mm-hmm. But by that time, MJ had already taken his official visits and we had spent time with the team, and they had already let him know, the team. I'm talking about the guys on the team in the locker room. Mm-hmm. They had already let him know, listen, we play for each other.
That's right.
We've gone through, you know, Matt Rhule stayed 2 years. Jeff Collins stayed 2 years. Al Golden only stayed 2 years. So the guys in the locker room, they really schooled those guys on who you really play for.
There you go.
And so it didn't bother us much. It didn't bother us much because, again, you play for that locker room. You go to that school for a school, not the coach.
There you go.
So it didn't sting that much.
And then MJ himself, I mean, mm-hmm. and I know you said it didn't sting a lot, but again, a kid is going to be a kid, and they're not, hey, there's a reason why we're older and we were here before them to provide them that wisdom. So how did it, you know, did it affect him at all? I mean, you know, did he at one point ever want to leave and change or what, you know, go to a different school?
It's not so much that he wanted to leave and change, but when you start to have transition like that with coaches, mm-hmm. What happens is, other coaches tried to get in.
Right.
So it became, you know, Iowa State came back hard, you know, and all these other schools, you know, were calling, you know, and MJ, you have a home here. MJ, you have a home here.
Right.
And one of those schools that just so happened to recruit MJ way up until the 11th hour just so happened to be Northern Illinois, and whose staff is now at Temple. So that worked out great. Wow. And so it really didn't bother him too much, because by the time a lot of the chaos was happening, you know, he was already set on, I'm going to play at Temple no matter what. Again, the guys in that locker room, mm-hmm. those upperclassmen, they did such a good job talking with the recruits that MJ and them was pretty much sold.
Gotcha.
Just from talking to those guys that, listen, play for each other.
Yes.
No matter what coach comes in here and leaves, play for each other. And so I really commend those guys in that mm-hmm. locker room for mm-hmm. that, because they did an excellent job at helping MJ with his transition. So no, he wasn't bothered.
He wasn't devastated by it at all.
Not at all. He wasn't devastated at all.
Good for him, because in so many cases, and, you know, again, we've talked about this countless times on the show, you know, coaches coming and going. You can't – you got to go to the school that you feel comfortable with if something happens where you can't play football, you know. And,
absolutely.
And I remember, again, when Jonas – and a lot of people don't realize this, he initially committed to Nebraska. And now Coach Callahan, who was with the Raiders, was the coach, and they fired him. And they once they fired him, all the recruits started falling off. And I asked Jonas, I said, you know, and I told him this. I said, man, you can't – it's not about the coach. It's about the program. And obviously Nebraska, you know, they started to fall off a little bit before he was thinking about going there. But Nebraska is a story program. You know, hey, mm-hmm. Coach Tom Osborne, blah, 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 blah. But you hit it on the head, man. You've got to go to that school that – because guess what? You can meet your wife there, your future wife there. You know Absolutely. What I mean? That may be the city that you may be raising your kids. You may be raising Absolutely. Your family. So
Absolutely.
It's more to the football. Go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, another thing that I had told MJ, because, you know, again, like you asked, you know, did he start to waver a little bit at the end?
Sure.
What I told MJ when other schools started to come at him really strong, I said, MJ, in this day and age of college football, you know, these coaches are leaving like that.
That's
so
right.
Even if you decide you don't want to stay with Temple, you want to go somewhere else, who's to say that the coach where you would like to transfer to or go to wouldn't leave again?
It's
so
true.
So he really didn't want to go through that. Mm. And so that's just what these kids have to realize, is that when they sign that national letter of intent, they signed a contract with the school.
Bingo.
Those coaches can come and go as they please. It's business.
It's business. Well, let me ask you this. You're a football guy, and, you know, Reg always tells me about you guys up at the barbershop and, you know, having a shop talk. So, hey, I'm going to steal a few of your moments, if you don't mind. I sound like you're in the car, but I appreciate you calling in. What's your cool. thoughts, though? Do you feel that now that you have a son that's playing major college football, do you feel like kids – should have the same opportunity to leave, you know, hey, I got a different opportunity. And I know they have the portal now, the transfer portal and all that. But do you think it should be almost like free enterprise where you can come and go as a coach does? What's your thoughts?
Yeah. But I think I absolutely do. But I also think that the kids need to be mindful that just because you decide to leave don't mean that it's your best situation. And kids and parents need to understand the scholarship limits.
Right.
Kids and parents need to understand, you know, it's hard enough when you're going through the recruiting process to know if a coach is being, you know, honest and real or straight up with you, because the only time that we know that things are real is when that national letter of intent gets sent to your school or to your house or to your parents' email.
No doubt.
So if kids want to freely, you know, be able to go back and forth, I'm all for that. It's just you know, you have to, you know, understand your best situation. No
True.
Different than choose your college. Understand your best situation.
That's true.
I understand that in the state of Florida, you know, there are no, like, transfer rules. Like, kids can go wherever they want.
Right, right.
And it kind of works itself out, because the kids, okay, we can all go to IMG, or we can all go to, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas. But understand, if there's, you know, 12 other DBs there, okay, now you're the 13th one, and you may not, you know, get playing time. So I do feel like kids should be able to come and go. I once saw that, I believe it was Connecticut.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think after a bowl game,
mm-hmm.
The coach didn't even fly back. And if I'm wrong, I apologize to the Connecticut coach a while ago. But
right.
I remember a coach had didn't even fly back with his team
because
he had taken a job somewhere else.
I remember that. You know? I remember that. I don't know if it was UConn, but I do remember that. I remember that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you have to ask, where does the loyalties lie? And it's a business. People can say it's amateur.
It's a business.
But, yeah, it's absolute business. So I'm all for players being able to, you know, transfer out as they please. Just understand your situation that you're leaving and going into.
You know what? And when you're going into the process, you know, people always look at depth chart. You know, well, who's in front of me? And I always remind people, you don't know who's coming behind you. If that makes sense. Because guess what? You're recruiting the next one. You know what I mean? And while they got Derek Denham Jr. there right now, they got you in the bag. You're trying to get that next top running back behind you. So you, it's no perfect methodology to this whole thing, but I think the best thing, like you and I both agree on, is take away, again, if sports is taken away from you, are you going to be happy with Nebraska? Are you going to be happy with Texas A&M? That's what's the most important piece. Because we had Tyron Wheatley on and Butch Woolfolk a few weeks ago. And it's just amazing. That's what I love about this show, because you get to hear some stories that you haven't heard before. And how, you know, Tyron said that he went out to Colorado, you know, and he said the mountains, he said, man, the mountains and all that was beautiful. But he said he was homesick on the damn recruiting visit. So, you know, and then hey, shout out to my man, X-Man. He's in Colorado, Colorado State. Yes, Goldsmith. Yep.
Yeah.
Rashawn, what's up?
Mangum and Ham, too.
Yep. I see Rashawn is online now watching. What's up, big dog?
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's just amazing how, again, it the different effects, because I know Rashawn, they love Colorado. I know Mangum loves Colorado. So it's just.
I'm going to send Dave and Ham some oxygen tanks up there. That's in there kicking their butt right now. But they'll be all right.
No, but it again, it's different strokes for different folks. You know what I mean? So
it is.
What way?
What's interesting is that all the places that we visited, you know, I told my wife when we had visited, I think, Temple the second time, I told her, and I think we were leaving on our way home or something. And I said, MJ gonna commit to Temple.
Mm.
She said, why you say that? I said, did you see what we just went through? Like, he went to a city to where there's so much to do without forcing the issue, you know, outside of football.
That's right.
And that plays such a huge part, man, because when he comes, I told my wife, I said, you know, he's gone now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he will probably never live here again. So Temple, Philadelphia is about to shape him. And, you know, that's what you want for your kid, to go somewhere where they feel like that, you know, like this is life. And we all know our kids. You know what I'm saying? We all know our kids and the way that they respond to things.
That's
and
right.
Just like Wheatley said, I was homesick. You know, MJ was like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know?
See, so, it's amazing, man. It really is. Some kids just want to stay at home. They comfortable. Yeah. And to Wheatley's credit, he had different dynamics. His home situation was not good. He had a little brother he had to look out for. So all those things go into play. When you know you've got to take care of home, or you the man in the house, yeah, obviously going to University of Washington may not be the good fit if you're from Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, so.
If there's one thing that I would say to athletes and the parents, man, you know, don't even look at the sticker that's on the helmet.
There you go.
Because, you know, because you may, your life experience, man, is going to be based off of what you make it. Don't worry about the shiniest helmet. Go. Mm-hmm. If you want to be, like you said, if you want to be in Michigan, be in Michigan. If you want to get away from Michigan, go.
No doubt.
Meet new people.
No doubt.
See different places. You know, there's different cultures out there. You know, enjoy life, man. Like, one thing I always tell MJ when I get off the phone with him, I tell him, man, do everything 100%. School 100%, football 100%, and be a college student 100%.
There you go.
You know, I don't want him to have any, you know, regrets.
That's
or,
right.
You know, woulda, coulda, shouldas, man. Enjoy.
Enjoy the moment.
Life,
enjoy the journey.
Enjoy the moment.
Because
stop worrying about, you know, if you have a winged helmet on or the buck nuts on your helmet or whatever, you know. Enjoy it, man. Wherever you go, enjoy it.
And what I tell people, Ryan, is parents as well, enjoy the journey. We get such in a rush. And I think this is this old age starting to kick in with me. You know, when you get to my age, you want life to slow down a little bit, if that makes sense. You know, we get such in a rush to get to the end. You know what I mean? Just, and like I said, seeing your son, how fast time. Think about it. Jonas is out the league now.
Oh, my goodness.
Think about that. I mean, it goes by so fast. And I tell parents all the time, especially for those that haven't been through the process before, I said, man, enjoy the moment. Enjoy every rep. You know, I see guys like Mark Stokes. I think he's watching right now. Great guy I've met through this whole process. And I see what he's doing with his son. You know, enjoy these moments, man. enjoy it because it goes by so damn fast. And it sounds cliche. You know, people just like shrug you off. Yeah. And so some people are such in a rush to get them to a certain point. But man, you can't bring back that time that you had with your son or your daughter. You know, again, like Rashawn, I think his daughter does gymnastics, and I see she's doing her thing. You got to enjoy these moments, man.
You have to.
You know.
You have to.
So again, man, like I said, kudos to you. You know, and then I don't think we give the mothers enough credit. You know, as men, especially when it comes to football, you know, I don't think we give them enough credit because while we're driving around, for those that are still in the same household and dad is taking sons around, you taking him, Jay, Rashawn's taking the X-Man, Mark is taking his son, those mothers, they got to hold things up too on their end. Sometimes they got to be the buffer. Go ahead.
I absolutely made sure that when MJ signed early, that when I went onto my Facebook post that the world knew the sacrifice that, you know, my wife made, you know, while, you know, we're taking trips, you know, and going places. And my wife, she would make a vacation. If MJ went to football camp in Miami, she would stay at the hotel. She wouldn't come to camp until the last day or whatever. Now, I told her, I'm used to going to camps this time of year. I'm used to doing that, so I might still have to take her to a camp or two before I realize we don't have a kid there. You know, but I said, so bear with me. But absolutely, man, my wife, man, I mean, I can't, you know, I can't even put it in words, man, the support that she showed us. But see, the important thing, man, is that she knew how serious I was about MJ and what I believe that he can accomplish. And so she never questioned me. She never, you know, got upset. She never, you know, tried to stop me. She never tried to, you know, make me waver from doing what I felt like I had to do. Mm. And I can't thank her enough for that, man. So just having that support system from wifey, man, was
oh, that's huge. It's huge because, you know, you can have that bitter, butter half that's, you know, get a little jealous of the relationship. You know what I mean? You running up and down, going to these visits, and it takes a lot of time away from your time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to have that person that understands the process, that's mature, because it does take a mature person to understand this, to understand what you're trying to accomplish. So I just, you know, again, I just don't think we give, you know, as a whole, we don't give the ladies in the house enough credit. So, because without them, I mean, I remember, like I said, with Stan, and I used to always say, I used to think Stan was really the tyrant in the house. Stan Edwards, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And Stan said, Stan, so, you know, because I remember I knew his sons, Berkeley and Bailey and Braylon coming up because we all, you know, Jonas and my daughter ran track together for Stan. And Stan said, no, they do their push-ups and sit-ups every night. So I always thought it was Stan pushing the issue. He said, man, hell no. That's Carolyn. He said, I don't have to push that. Carolyn pushed that. So to have that, because I know it's a lot of brothers out there that's listening and watching that don't have that in the house. You know, you trying to tell little Johnny to do this, and they're like, well, let him grow up. Let him have fun. Let him do this. You're too hard on him. Yeah. You know what I mean? So to have that Ryan, man, it goes a long way when you're on that same page.
Oh, it does. It does, man. I mean, even when you and even on a more, I'm not gonna say more serious note, because everything's all serious.
True.
But on a serious note, like, you know, wifey, she even knew when it was time to cut family off.
Bingo.
You know? But she understood. So, and you know, and MJ, it's funny. MJ will tell you. You know, he'll tell you there was times to where, you know, his closest cousin, you know, is like, I can't talk to you right now. I can't be around you right now. And, you know, normally, you know, the mothers would be like, no, you know, that's his cousin, that's his friend or whatever, blah, blah. But my wife, she always understood, like, like there's a time, you know, for all that stuff, man. And a mother, you know, they're all, because, you know, they're always their baby.
Always. No doubt.
Gonna be their baby,
no doubt about
you know?
It.
And
right.
They're going to be protective of their baby. But, man, even in that, you know, she still understood that when it was time to handle business, it's time to handle business. That's just how Ryan does things. And you know, she had my back 100% with that, you know, so.
Well, man, kudos to Mrs. Griffin because, again, man, I can't reiterate how important is, if you do have that, you're in the same household. We understand there's different families and dynamics, but when you do have that, you know, you're in the same household and you're raising your child and you can be on that same page, because kids, what they know how to play you against each other.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll know how to play you.
Oh yeah.
And have that mother say, no, you're going. You know, because you're still a kid. You're still a kid at the end of the day. And no, this is what we're doing. And then it takes all the different questions and all the poke lips out of the equation, so to speak. So let me ask you this. So I know who was MJ working out? Because I used to see you on your Facebook page. It was a brother he was working out with that played I'm sure he played a huge part in his development. And I can't think of his name, but I think he had a trainer up in where you guys were. Talk a little bit about that process.
His name was Nate Griffin. His name was Nate Griffin. We're not related.
Okay.
But we kind of share the same energy. And I'm the type of cat, like, I used to always train MJ.
Sure.
Okay. But when I realized that I could only do so much for my son, that's where Ron Rice came into the picture.
Gotcha.
Okay. Then obviously, you know, we go over to Belleville and you have a person like Jermaine Crowell,
who's,
you know, knowledge about the. So it was about, you know, turning your kid over to somebody who could take your kid to the next level, what have you. So Nate, I introduced MJ to weights at a young age, you know, in terms of just learning how to lift.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the reason why he got with Nate is because Nate, number one, is a master motivator.
Mm.
And number two, Nate is grimy. And I knew Nate would push MJ. There was no ceiling with Nate.
Gotcha.
And so Nate got MJ to a point to where MJ is an animal in the weight room.
Mm.
Okay, he's an animal. But just because you're an animal in the weight room, that still doesn't mean that you know what you're doing.
True that.
Just means that you're an animal in the weight room.
True that.
So Nate got MJ to be an animal in the weight room. But then, unfortunately, when MJ transferred over to Celine, they have Barwis methods. So now you're learning how to lift. They're isolating muscles. They're doing certain things. But
gotcha.
Nate, man, Nate is, if anybody wants to get their kid into, you know, learning how to attack the weight room, because one thing that MJ just learned is he's respected throughout the, he was actually voted by Temple of Players favorite freshman.
Wow.
And he actually got moved up to the top weightlifting group. Because he has like the second highest bench press throughout the DBs.
Wow.
But they love the way he attacks the weight room.
Right.
And so that's what Nate, his name is Nate Griffin, is Hungry Hustlers Fitness Gym. And he taught MJ how to attack the weight room. You're not scared of any weights. You handle your business, you grind, you push yourself, the brother's good at what he does.
Well, shout out to Nate Griffin, man, because like I said, whether it's Nate or whether, like you said, Crowell or Ron Rice, or, you know, because over the period of time, when you would say maybe 10, 12, 14 years that your son has been training, he's going to encounter a lot of different people. You know what I mean? It's like a trial you're going to try this and you're going to try a little bit of that, you know, and you take a little bit from everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, because that's always the thing. Mm-hmm. Who's the best trainer? Who's the number one guy? Well, guess what? You can probably learn a little bit from everybody. And you just got to, you know what I mean? Because, you coach track, so you understand. And it's just you soak a little bit in. You take a little bit from this guy. You take a little bit from this guy. And what may work for you may not work for somebody else.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's building those relationships. And like you said, you know your kid better than anybody. So let me ask you this. If you have one piece of advice to give a parent that's going through the process right now, you know, whether I see my boy DA just signed on, he's got a son, Christian, that's he's going to be a great athlete. And what I'm telling DA now is, because he's, you know, he's not too young. I think Christian may be 6. And I said, you know, man, you may think this is crazy, but get him with a trainer now. Start getting that work ethic, you know, incorporated into his daily habits, man. That's just something that I've offered to him, and I just brought that up because I've seen him watching. What's a piece of advice that you would give to someone that's just starting out in this process?
and I I'm gonna say this because I'm gonna preface it. You know.
Go ahead. Keep it real. Keep it real. We don't have no filter here, man. It's me and you.
Because the thing is, man, is whatever you do in your house mm-hmm. is your business. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do in your house is your business. You cannot worry about what anybody has to say. And far too many people that I talk to, mm-hmm. they always worried about what somebody else says right. in terms of what they're doing with their kid.
Right.
We've all heard that term of, man, you're trying to live through your kids. You're trying to live through your kids. There's no way mm-hmm. that you can help your kid achieve their dreams if you don't do it with them, if you don't go 2 feet in. You have to be knee deep in what your son's passion or your daughter, what their passion and what their love in. Now, do not try to ask your child to do something that you didn't do yourself.
Well,
but in terms of effort, in terms of understanding, in terms of that type of stuff, or dad, I really want to play football. Man, you have to be in it as much as your kid, and sometimes even more than your kid, because your kid doesn't have the understanding. Yes. There was years upon years upon years where MJ, we built a trust system. Hmm. And if I can give any advice to a parent, I would say create a trust system between you and your young athlete where your young athlete knows that I'm your father. Hmm. I love you. There is nothing that I would do to hurt you. Hmm. But son or daughter, I need you to trust me. Hmm. So no matter what I ask you to do, I need you to do it. You have to trust that I love you.
That's right.
You know, and man, for I'm telling you, man, Derek, I'm telling you, man, 10, 15 years, I asked MJ, are you sure this is what you want to do? Right. Are you sure this is what you want to do? MJ was all state, you know, even last year.
I remember.
Are you sure that this is what you want to do? Even though I would ask all stater that, because my thing is, I'm going to give you everything I have. Mm. I just want to make sure that this is what you want to do. So, man, if there's any advice I would give to a parent, it was, man, build a trust system and do what you have to do to get your child to that next level, whether it's camps, seeking advice from somebody. I mean, you know me.
Yes, I do.
I'll call you. I'll call anybody,
right.
man, for information
yes.
and advice.
That's right.
That pride.
Got to kick it to the side.
Pride out the window, partner.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Put that pride out the window.
Thank
man,
you.
A long time ago, mm-hmm. man, Big Donnie, not Donnie Corley Jr., but Big Donnie.
Senior.
And he told me, mm-hmm. he said, Griff, he said, I will do whatever you need me to do. I will put MJ on. I will blah, blah, blah. He said, as long as you reach back and do the same thing
wow.
to somebody else. So I will call that brother, man. I'm saying right now, okay, you said keep it real.
Yeah, keep it real, man. That's what we do. Keep it real.
I will call that brother. I call all the time. You can ask him. I call Rudy. You know, Jalen Kelly Powell's
I
dad.
I do, yes.
I call him all the time, Mia. I call Jalen Kelly Powell's dad. Mm-hmm. There are several people that I still call to this day.
Yes, sir.
You know, to have conversations, to ask them about, you know, either the process or what their kid's going through college or what my kids should be expecting right now at mm-hmm. this point. Or, I mean, just anything, man, that the information is out there. There is no method
right.
to the madness.
No
There's
doubt.
No true method, but we can talk to people who've either been there or a little bit ahead of you to try to find out how to help, you know, our kids in this situation.
And it's so funny. It's so funny that you said you brought up Donnie Sr. Because mm-hmm. guess what? As he was telling you to pass it along, guess what? He talked to people like me in the past before when Donnie was going through the process. You see how this yeah. thing works? It's like a domino effect. Again, I learned a lot of different things. Going through the process, learning from guys like Stan and my boy Tyrone and just working with athletes over the years. And, you know, and I tell parents, find you someone that you can talk to that's been through it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, and again.
Ask Wiz how much I call him. Ask Wiz how much I call him.
No, I know. Trust me. And, but like you said, you got to take the ego. It's not like. You know, some people, man, they going through the process and, you know, it's like they think they know everything right off the rip. You can't know everything right off the rip because you haven't been through it. You know what I mean? And you've got to take the ego off and say, hey, man, you know what? Again, that's your kid at the end of the day. But what,
yeah.
you know, what should we expect here? What would you do here? What I remember Donnie because at the time they were talking about Tennessee and Michigan State and da, 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 da. You know, so hey, man, shout out to people that realize, hey, sometimes you got to, they always talk about a village, man, a village.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what's part of being the village, where you can, I can call Ryan and say, Ryan, hey, man, what you think about this? Ryan, you's a track coach, man. What would you do to try to help your increase your kids' 40? This is what we have to do, man. It's in a collective. Absolutely. It's a collective, absolutely, man. And you, and absolutely, what you're doing, like Cordy said, hey, pass this information along. Because somebody's coming along that, and sometimes you just got to pull people aside and you see the mistakes that they're making. You know, it's a brother. Yeah. I won't call no names now. But, man, this kid wants this for his son so bad. You know, and I always see what he's putting on Facebook, and my son ain't getting no love. And I seen him at the 707 Reggie Wynn's thing the other day. I said, dude, just hang in there. Keep working. Keep working. The time is coming. Keep working. Because, see, now, Ryan, when back in the day when Jonas and your son was training together, we didn't have all this social media stuff. So now you can peek into MJ Griffin's world and see that he's going to, you know, Florida State or Georgia Tech. And people kind of get like, man, you know, man, what about my kid? And I tell people, keep grinding, baby. Keep grinding. That's all you can do. Keep grinding. Build those relationships. Use your resources. Call the Ryan Griffins. Call the Reggie Wins. Call the Corleys. Because guess what? It's they can learn. You can learn so much from talking to someone else that's been through the process.
Absolutely.
So, hey man, I know I took a lot of your time, but hey, we've been trying to get you on the show anyway.
I need to do something with my time. If they're gone, man, I'm bored. I need something.
Oh, hey, you're gonna go through a little withdrawal, but I know you'll be up there. You know, to see him play. You know, every week. You know, so. Hey, man, shout out to MJ, man. Like I said, hey, you are the epitome of a great father, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Much love to Mrs. Griffin as well. You raised a great son. And so even beyond football, he's always been a mannerable kid, man. He's a smart kid, very articulate, and I know he's going to do well.
Absolutely appreciate it, my brother.
So, man, hey, glad to have you come in, man. Again, I didn't know I was going to take so much time. But, you know, we get to kicking it, man. It's just time flies. But you definitely, you know, filled the void for me tonight with me not having Mr. Booby Wins in the house with me. So, man, much love to you, man. Definitely going to be watching him do his thing this year. I can't wait. It's like, man, I got kids everywhere, right? I mean,
kids
that's the thing, man.
Man,
I look at TV right now. I got kids playing. It's amazing, man. I mean, everywhere. It's amazing as you get older and you've
cool
been through
though,
it.
Man.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's
so,
cool.
Hey, looking forward to him doing big things, bro.
I appreciate it, my brother.
All right, man. Hey, look, enjoy the rest of your evening. And we'll definitely chop it up soon.
Thanks for having me on.
I got you, bro.
All right. Peace.
All right. Peace. Hey, shout out to my man Ryan Griffin to filling in tonight for my man Booby Wins. Great guy. Again, we've seen his son at an early age doing his thing at Velocity. A lot of you all don't even know what Velocity is. So that's how far back we've been doing our thing. But it's great to see him going on to the next level. And I think the more of the conversation was, you know, align yourself with someone that's going through the process, that's been through the process, so that you can ask the questions that need to be asked. You know, take your ego out of it, you know, because this thing is a collective, man. And you want to see your kid get as much as he can out of that college experience. And whether it's football, whether it's volleyball, you can't do it by yourself. I see my man Curtis Blackwell just tuned in. People like Kurt has been doing it for a while and helping these kids get in school. You know, at the end of the day, yeah, we all love football. But as we know, it's bigger than that. You know, use football as a catalyst to, you know, for the rest of your life. It's the relationships that you form. Again, a lot of people, they're going to marry that college sweetheart, you know, or they're going to raise their kids, whether they're at Colorado or whether they're at Texas. So it's bigger than that. But, you know, shout out again to my man, Ryan Griffin. So, hey, we just doing an hour tonight. I appreciate everybody tuning in and watching. We'll be back next week, same time, 7 o'clock. Me, myself, and Mr. Reggie Booby Wins. Much love to you guys. And all the guys that signed today, congratulations. Now it's on to 2020. So we'll see you guys, same place, same channel, next week, 7 o'clock. Peace.
This is Rod Hurd Sr., father of Roderick Hurd Jr. You're listening to the Prep Stars Football Report.
I know a thing or
two. How you doing? This is...
Hungry? So hungry your brain's telling you that the steering wheel is actually a giant pretzel? Sounds like you need some real food real quick. The brand new Subway snack menu has scrumptious toasties, tasty meatballs, and new yummy nachos from just 89 pence. See? Listen to me, not the voices in your head. Can't wait till your next meal? We've got a snack for that. Subway. Eat fresh.